The following is a lightly edited version of the Bobby Blackwell Show from 2010. Starting in 2011, these shows will be put into a separate uncut RSS feed on the BobbyBlackWolf.com website and will be posted the night of the live show. These unedited shows feature long, awkward pauses and may contain technical difficulties or explicit language. This feed will be for the edited versions of the shows that sound good for a podcast. Good luck. Tonight we give our impressions of 3D.Game Heroes for the PS3+. Plus, could Sony's removal of features be detrimental to national security? All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwell Show, week of May 16th, 2010. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this, Matt. And
it's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Catalarm, kind of that game.
Bobby Blackwell back at Dragon Con 2005.
I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwell.
See, everybody in chat's talking about how CTU always has a mole. Well, you see, the Los Angeles FBI on the Mosaic investigation had two moles. They beat CTU, but both shows got canceled. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as remnants about gaming's history, not talk about television. Although I was one of the three people that like Flash Forward. Damn you, ABC. Chat.allgames.com is our chat room. If you are joining us here on All Games Radio, welcome. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line for you to call in. It's Bobby Blackwell Show, all one word. You can call in and sound off on anything gaming. My email address is blackwolf@allgames.com. So the game that I'm going to be kind of giving my impressions of and an early review of this week is 3D.Game Heroes by Atlas. It's developed by From Software for the PS3. And right at the top, I want to go ahead and tell you that this was a review copy provided to me by Atlas. So factor that into your decision. But it is not a full price game anyway. It is a $40 game. It costs the same as Super Street Fighter 4, incidentally. It is a PS3 exclusive for right now. And basically what it is, it's Zelda. It is a parody of Zelda, which falls under fair use and all that stuff. And it knows that it's a parody of Zelda. They even steal, you know, a lot of the lines from it. You know, it's dangerous to go out alone. Take this. They changed it just enough, but you can obviously tell it's an homage to Zelda. It is, and it plays a lot like the first Zelda, where you know you're going around different things, places in the overworld, and then you go over to the next room, and there's the temples that have the layout, same kind of grid-like of rooms with the boss at the end with the patterns and stuff. It's basically Zelda. The premise behind it is that this is an old 2D world that adventurers stopped visiting because they weren't in 3D. So they turned it into 3D, but they didn't get it exactly right because they have these blocks. Everything's still blocky and pixelated. They're just blocky and pixelated in 3D. And then there's these dark orbs that was holding in the dark sage that he was able to get out when they moved to 3D or something like that. And who cares? It's standard Zelda-style story. There's orbs strewn across the landscape and all these temples that have been taken over by monsters and guarded by a guardian at the end. And you need to go collect all the orbs so you can go get the main sword to go kill the evil guy at the end. Standard stuff. It's not a very long game by any means. It's from what I haven't had enough time to finish it. But from what I understand, it's if you don't really do that much of the side quests, you can easily beat this in 10 hours. I think speedrunners can do it in 4. So, there's side quests and stuff, and you could possibly get about 20 hours worth of gameplay out of this title. Remember, it's not a $60 game; it's a $40 game. And basically, it's you go around and defeat enemies with a huge sword, and there you go. I mean, there's really not much to say about the gameplay. There are some differences that they do in this game compared to Zelda and other games of this type. For one, you see in the trailers and everything that the sword is huge, and it is when you have full life. Whenever you take a hit or something, it goes down to just being somewhat huge. And you basically the upgrade system of the sword is you can make it longer, wider, have more power, make it shoot beams and stuff. But the main gameplay thing that people that are very used to playing Zelda are going to have to contend with is the fact that really you don't want to try to hit enemies head on because they could probably hit you easier than you can hit them. Because even though it is supposed to be a 2D style world, you can be just not enough in the same plane with them that where you don't hit them, but they can hit you. Their hitbox or your hitbox is bigger than it looks or whatever. It's the spin attack. So basically you fire out the sword and then you can spin it while it's out. And it takes a little bit of timing, but it's not that difficult. So really the object is to actually slash, have the enemies diagonal to you and then spin your sword into them rather than trying to get in the same plane as them, the same vertical or horizontal plane as them to actually just hit them head on. But obviously like if you make the sword wider, that problem kind of goes away, but then again, that only works when you have full health. All your extra stuff goes away when you don't have full health. But the huge sword does make it easier and stuff, and a lot of people will think that there's not that much of a challenge as long as you keep your health up. When you start losing health, that's kind of when the challenge comes in. It's not a very difficult game, but it's also not a very easy game either. I am only on the third temple in the game, which, by the way, the third temple is very hard to find. Getting to the third temple in the game, it actually illustrates one of the problems that a lot of people have with this game, and it's one that we had on my Friday night show, and one that I kind of have here as well, is that you're never clueless as to where you need to go, because there's an overworld map, and it actually like highlights exactly where you're supposed to go, where the next temple is. But you are clueless as to how to actually get there. And it is not usually the straightest path. And there's not that many hints kind of telling you how to get there. Especially if you just run through and don't read the signs and don't read any of the text. So you'll think you're going the right way, and then you'll hit a wall, and then you'll just hit another wall, and then another wall, and you'll be wandering around. And we wandered around for an hour trying to find that third temple, because we kept trying to go to it when you're really supposed to go like almost all the way to the north end of the map and then come back down. So spoiler alert or hint, whichever way you want to look at it. So there is a lot of trying to figure out how to get where you're supposed to get. You always know where you need to go next, but you don't exactly know how to get there. And that's kind of one of the things, that's one of the knocks against the game. Because it does get kind of frustrating when you've been to the same place over and over again. You can't figure out how to get where you're supposed to go to get to the next part. And you wouldn't think that that would be a problem in like a grid-like system like this game, but it happens. And then once you get there, you say, oh, that was so easy. Why couldn't I think of that? But when you're trying to think about it, you get frustrated. This game does have all the, kind of secondary objects and items and stuff. Kind of like, Zelda has, same kind of items. You get first with the boomerang, then you get bombs, and you'll get a hook shot and all that stuff. You really don't use those except to solve puzzles. You don't really use them to defeat enemies. So it's basically they're just means to an end to the puzzles. And really, you're just going to be slashing with your sword the entire time. The text in the game. The main question I have about this game is, how did this game get an E10 rating? That's what it's rated by the ESRB, E10+, which means it's appropriate for ages 10 and up. Apparently, they did not, maybe I guess the reviewers and the raters, the ratings board at the ESRB, did not exactly read the script. Or if they did, they are such prudes they didn't catch all of the sexual innuendo that is all over this game. There's actually one sequence that is just basically it implies that you just got a hooker and you just took that, you know, paid that hooker some money and went to bed. We actually found it by accident on the show, and we did it on Friday Night Gaming. It's near the end. But there's that, and there's a whole bunch of other sexual innuendos, and you can actually, since there's an editor, you can actually make, you know, boobies and stuff. And the sword looks kind of phallic if you look at it the wrong way. So I don't know how this game did not get rated at least a T for teen, because if you know what you're talking about, and trust me, probably, you know, 10 and 11 year olds have that dirty mind too. You'll get all this sexual innuendo that is all through this game. Wide Angle in our chat room says, "Have you been around any 10 year olds lately?" He's got a point, because I haven't. Bacon Bits in chat says, 3D dot ripoff game heroes ripoff. He dislikes this game. He hates this game so much. I can't figure out why. GK128 said, "I never had this problem. Sure, I got lost, but then I looked for another way." That's what we did, and it's just we always missed, like, that we were just supposed to keep going in that little trench. That was where it was, the trench area. Spoilers. Wide Angle says it's irrelevant. It's like Toy Story. And GK128 even points out, you know, don't let there's an inventor. His name is DIC, except I'm not going to say it because we're trying to keep the explicit tag off this. And they don't, you know, there's somebody that says that you should not let this particular person suck you into his schemes. So, that's the kind of stuff that's in this, and it's all throughout. Baganbit says he hates it because it is a blatant ripoff of Zelda. They kind of tell you that it is. I don't know. I mean, it's not like they're hiding the fact that they are an homage to or a quote-unquote ripoff of Zelda. It is a parody of Zelda. It is an homage to Zelda. It is kind of like, you know, the movie Hot Shots was an homage to Top Gun. Do you hate Hot Shots because it is a ripoff of Top Gun? ActDev says, "I call it a ripoff, though I would give it a try." I think the difference is that there are some games that, yes, you can say it's a ripoff of another game. This game at least has the foresight to tell you it is. They're not ashamed of it. They know exactly what they are, and they ham it up. What Up G says, "What does Nintendo think about this game?" Nobody's asked them. And I don't have a contact there, so I can't ask them, and they probably would not comment. So, one last thing about 3D.GameHeroes, there is an editor in the game where you can actually edit these characters. Basically, they are, it's like, I think, 16 by 16 by 16 cubes of dots. And you can have 6 different colors. And you can change the palette of the colors. But 6 different colors. And basically, you can create a standing animation, 2 walking animations, 2 different attack animations, and a hooray, which they say hurry animation, but it's hooray, like, you know, kind of like they just got something, you know, picked up a good item or whatever. So you can create these, and you could spend hours in that editor. You could probably spend more time in the editor than you do playing the full game. You can actually take templates. There are, you know, like 30 characters or more that you can choose from, and every time you load a new save file, you can actually change characters. So you're not limited to the same character for your entire game. You can take any of those and edit them, or you can create your own from scratch. And there are different bonuses to certain types. You can be a male or a female, and that affects some stats. And then you can be a hero, a scholar, and now this is where Atlas is going to hate me because I don't have, like, the book in front of me, so I forget what the third one was. But basically, those give you, like, extra stats. You know, like, if you're a hero, you get 1 extra life. If you're a scholar, you get 1 extra magic. 1 extra heart, and then, or 1 extra little magic node, which is, yes, they behave just like Zelda, much to Bacon Bits' chagrin. So you can make your character any of those. And there are, you know, your standard fighter and hero characters, but there's also, like, a GT car. There's a bunny rabbit. There's a ninja, which is what we played on the show, which basically he sits underground until he's about to attack, and then he pops up. There's dragons. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's already in there. And then the thing about the PS3 is that you can actually transfer save games using any ye olde memory stick. And you don't have to format that memory stick. It'll, you know, read it. So there are actually websites out there, which I haven't been able to find yet, but I'm sure there will be. People have been trading on message boards, but you can actually save this to a save game file, put it on a memory stick, and upload it to a website. So people will have been sitting around making, like, Mega Man and Link and, you know, other 8-bit game characters and uploading the save file to a website. You can download it, put it on a memory stick, move it over to your hard drive, and then you can actually use it in your game. So there's a whole community around creating these 6 frames of animation characters in this editor. So that's going to be kind of interesting to see what people come up on that. GK128 says, it's royalty. Royalty was the last one. There you go. Wide Angle says, I spent more time building my Chrome Hound than driving it. See, and that's the thing. See, this also pays homage to their other games. This is by From Software. They actually do reference Chrome Hounds because they talk about how cool it would be to build a mech game in 3D. But then they also reference Demon Swords, and there's even a whole cave that has a whole bunch of Demon Swords jokes that people who played Demon Swords would probably get. And I didn't get them, but I knew they were from Demon Souls. So my grade for 3D.Game Heroes, once again, you got to realize that this was a copy provided to me by Atlas. And it was actually, Atlas sends like like a special disc that's in like this little white sleeve, and it has in military letters, you know, for demo only, and it has no trophies. So if you look at my PSN account, you'll say that I didn't actually play it because I don't have any trophies. They disable the trophies for the review copies. And unfortunately, my save file is not compatible with the $40 retail version. So if I did go buy the game, I'd have to start over from the beginning. But my grade for it, I'm going to give it a B. Because it doesn't get an A because it is kind of confusing as to how to get to the next area, and you can get frustrated if you miss the one way to get to the next area and you try a whole bunch of different ways. You'll spend a lot of time kind of wandering around, but it is cute. It knows exactly what it is. It is a good parody. It's funny, and but it actually has a good game underneath. See, the thing, like, I can compare this to another recent release, which was Eat Lead, The Return of Matt Hazard, which was funny, had a lot of humor about the game industry and poked fun at the industry and knew it was a ripoff of a lot of different game types, but the game underneath sucked in Eat Lead. The game underneath all the humor and poking fun at video games and stuff that's in 3D.Game Heroes is actually a good little game. And it's not a long game. It's not going to be a terribly challenging game, but it's fun. You're going to have fun with it. It's only $40. I would, you know, definitely say at least rent it, unless you're Bacon Bits and you already hate it because it's a ripoff of Zelda, even though that's exactly what they intended it to be. At least rent it, but, you know, you may like it, and you know, it'd be a good buy. Like I said, it's not $60, and it's only for the PS3 right now. So there you go. GK128 says he paid for it and he still thinks it's awesome. So yes, so there you go. So you got one guy who did pay for it that thinks it's awesome, and you got one guy, me, who didn't pay for it, and I think it's awesome, too. So there you go. Buchigawa says, Zelda is a classic. How can you go wrong? You can go wrong, but From Software didn't go wrong. So there you go. Amazed Tsuma says, rated B, as in better than Zelda. Zelda would have gotten an A if I had given it a grade. So, not much news going on. This came out this week mainly because E3 is very close. It's less than a month away, believe it or not. Or no, actually, it starts a month from now, I believe. So, you know, a lot of companies are going into radio silence because they're kind of hoarding all their news for to release all at once at E3. But there's still some things that, you know, just happen and they can't stop them. So we're going to talk about this reel here quick, because everybody loves it when I talk about pirates and piracy and stuff. Rockstar Games kind of got back at Pirates, and somebody found out about it. This is kind of funny. It's about Max Payne 2. Max Payne 2 was recently released on Steam, and it was originally released on the PC and had DRM in it and things, which you know, a lot of people don't like for obvious reasons. And Steam kind of is its own DRM. I mean, it's not... A lot of people don't consider Steam as DRM, but it is. It's got some DRM. It's not as intrusive as other DRM schemes out there, but Steam is still DRM. And they had to strip out the DRM out of Max Payne 2. Well, it winds up it was easier and quicker for Rockstar to actually steal the crack from the pirate from the cracking group Myth and just use that. So if you actually you purchase the game from Steam of Max Payne 2, it actually has Myth's pirated EXE that removes the original DRM. Somebody actually went through with Notepad++ and kind of looked at the executable and actually found like the Myth logo in ASCII art, which kind of denotes that it was their crack. And there are people that think that, you know, Myth should sue Rockstar and stuff. You probably know. I mean, if you look at it in real terms, you know they can't do that. Rockstar A has like a crack top legal team, you know, because, you know, Grand Theft Auto and Manhunt give them so much attention. They're constantly fighting legal battles against, you know, certain groups, watchdog groups and things like that. So they've got a pretty good legal team, for one. And two, you got to realize they own the copyright on Max Payne 2. And essentially what the crack is, it's a derivative work of their copyrighted intellectual property. So, you know, if you want to try to play that game, and I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know if this is really true, and I don't think we have any lawyers in chat, so they don't know either. We can only speculate. But Rockstar kind of owns Myth's crack as well, or they kind of have the copyright on that too, because it's a derivative of their work. It's an unauthorized derivative work. So does this make Myth's crack legitimate? That I don't know. But they said, you know, well, it's legal for us to use it because it's a derivative of our work, so they're now selling it on Steam. Bujigawa says, see, Black Wolf, hackers are okay sometimes. I didn't say this was okay. I just said that Rockstar was lazy and decided that somebody else did their work for them, so they took it. And what's funny is that the cracker community is all upset at Rockstar stealing their code. And I'm not exactly sure they see the irony in that. I guess to them it's unethical. ActF says, this is just something LOL's worthy. It's nothing to really get worked up over. Funny T Man thinks it's funny that they were pirating a crack for their own game. Burr says, this totally disproves the argument that Zominji, I don't even know how to say that. Oh my god, beware of cracks because they have viruses unless Rockstar just willingly sold everyone a virus. Now, I will say this, and, you know, I don't think you should try to, you know, check to see if this is true, but there is enough of kind of a code in the wares scene that the top groups, the most respected groups within the scene, kind of don't release viruses because they would get hit twice as hard by everybody else. They kind of squash all the cracks that have viruses built in them. So as long as people, you know, the reputable groups are the ones that you get that people steal from, they have a less chance of getting a virus on their computer. So, I mean, that is kind of a myth. But, I mean, there are obviously smaller unknown people that will try to insert viruses into them. But there is a code of ethics, believe it or not, in stealing software. And one of them is, you know, if you really want to be respected within the scene, you don't put viruses in your stuff. So I'm looking through chat.allgames.com to see what else people are saying. Wide Angle does point out Myth can't really sue because really they stole the code first. So one last news story is going all the way, we keep talking about this. I don't know how many times we've talked about this year. The removal of the other OS feature in the PlayStation 3, which was basically started to be used by hackers to crack and be able to play. They were starting to get to the point where they could start playing pirated games on the PS3 using the feature. So Sony said, "Yeah, we're going to take that feature offline on all of our systems," and they did. Which is a very dangerous precedent to set because, what else can they take away? Well, there's actually a group that, if you want to be, sensationalist about it, this could be a threat to national security, the removal of this feature. Ars Technica reports that the United States Air Force Research Laboratory in Rome, New York, picked up 336 PlayStation 3 systems in 2009 and built itself a 53 teraflop processing cluster. Once completed as a proof of concept, Air Force researchers then scaled up by a factor of 6 and went in search of 2,200 more consoles, later scaled back to 1,700. The $663,000 contract was awarded on January 6, 2010, to a small company called Fixstars that could provide 1,700 160-gigabyte PS3 systems to the government. So now what's happened is that those systems won't be affected by this. They have a cluster of PS3s, and then they've got another cell processor computer that kind of works as the master control. So, like, there's one, like, super computer that's actually better than a PS3 with, like, a bunch of cell processors in it. It's kind of running the experiment, and then they're farming out all this work to the PS3s because the PS3 actually can do more for less money. So it's cheaper to get a bunch of PS3s than it would be to get a bunch of high-end cell processor servers and stuff. So that's why they went with that. Unfortunately, then, like a month later after they built all this, Sony removed the feature. It's not going to affect the units that are in the cluster now, but here's the thing. Once those systems, yellow light of death or overheat or whatever, because they do that, by the way, it's happened to me, and I didn't break it, contrary to some Sony fanboys' belief. But once they're gone, they're not going to be able to get a new system because, unfortunately, the Slims don't even have the option to install other OS. And the now any used system, they can't go on eBay and buy a used system because maybe they've got the new firmware update that disabled the other OS system. Sony's decision has no immediate impact on the cluster for obvious reasons. The PS3s aren't hooked into the PlayStation Network and don't need the firmware updates. But if a PS3 dies or needs repair, tough luck. So Ars Technica talked to the Air Force Research Laboratory, which noted its disappointment with the Sony decision. The lab says, quote, "We will have to continue to use the systems we already have in hand, but this will make it difficult to replace systems that break or fail. The refurbished PS3s also have the problem that when they come back from Sony, they have the firmware, they have this new firmware, and it will not allow other OS, which seems wrong. We are aware of class action lawsuits against Sony for taking away this option on systems that have to use it, or that used to have it," unquote. So what he's saying, this is kind of interesting, is that if you don't upgrade your PS3 and you send it into Sony for repair, they fix it and upgrade your firmware as a service to you. So now they can't even go to Sony and have Sony fix the console. Because if Sony fixes the console, they really fix the console and they remove the other OS feature. So this kind of sucks for them, and they just started this program and they just spent $663,000 of taxpayer money on these PS3s, which is a lot less than they would have if they had gotten the same amount of computing power from a high-end system. They saved a lot of money by going with PS3s, and then Sony goes around and actually disables the feature on any future PS3s. Terraclaw says, "Would CC Gaming, which is where I do my show, have a gold mine if the military sent them broken PS3s for repairs?" The PS3s, unfortunately, they can't fix all errors of the PS3, unfortunately. They have the ability to fix some of them and stuff, but I don't know if they would be able to fix a, I don't know if, like, when they fail in a server environment, a server farm environment, if that's the same as the GPU going out when you're playing a game. Beganbit says, can't just anything run Linux. It's not the fact that it's running Linux. It's the fact of the cell processor. It's the processing power that's inside the PlayStation 3. That's what they're using it for, not just because it's a game. It's a computer that can run Linux. So, yeah, I mean, they could. You know, my desktop runs Linux, but it's not going to be able to do the computations they need as fast as they need it. DC Nate says, either way, it just shows that they just should have bought cell blades from the beginning. They should have spent more taxpayer money and bought the actual servers rather than relying on a consumer electronics device like the PlayStation 3. And see, here's also the other thing, is that the reason the PS3s were cheap were because they're subsidized by game sales. Now, you know, Sony can look at this and say that, you know, oh, well, here's 1,700 PlayStation 3s that the military bought and didn't buy a single game, peripheral, controller, cable, anything. So Sony lost a lot of money on all these systems. And Buchigawa does point out that the government contracts always go to the lowest bidder, which is why I used to work on government contracts. So we're going to take a quick music break, and then we'll take some chat comments and chat discussion, freeform discussion, or your calls. Maybe somebody will call in. I don't know. People haven't been calling in lately. They don't like talking. So we'll be right back after this music break. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
Happens when you're acting the fool. Just strolling along 1 minute, next thing you know, you're out, and you don't know why, but I do.
It's the Van Hammer, better do what I say. It's a Van Hammer, you'll be leaving today. It's the Van Hammer, you think you're so fly, but now you're staring at the screen and you're still wondering why. Cause it's the Van Hammer with the clicky she read. It's the Van Hammer and you wish he was dead. It's a Van Hammer like a backhand slap, cause reputation don't be nothing when the wolf under claps. On the Bobby Blackwell Show.
Xenocore did that a while ago. I was, like, looking through my bumpers, and that was an old one, so I hadn't played it recently. I always play a newer one. Welcome back to the Bobby Blackwell Show. That was the shortest music break ever. I only took, like, two sips of my drink, and then suddenly I'm back on the air. What do you know? So people in chat, we've been continuing talking about this. Baconbit says, isn't there something with a cell blade, which is kind of a server? Blades are what they call, like, server components that go into a server rack instead of a desktop or a tower, which is what, like, your computer probably looks like. A blade actually can get, like, you push it into a big cabinet. That's what it is. And I do this for a living. Why am I blanking on this? You push it into a cabinet, and then you can screw it in, and it kind of just hangs there. So it's, you know, supported by all the screws on the side, but it's got nothing below it, nothing above it. He was asking if, you know, they could just, you know, buy one of those. And I said, well, it costs more. You know, they could, obviously, yes, there are blades that do it, but it costs more than a PS3. And then he said, well, they should just, you know, pay up the money for that. And I even said in chat, you know, that's spoken like somebody who doesn't pay taxes. And he's like, yeah, I don't pay taxes. So, you know, he's for more government spending because he doesn't have to foot the bill. If the government spends more money on it, that comes out of my taxes and my taxes may go up. So I am all for the government using solutions that cost me less money. I am all for that. And DC Nate also asked, here's what he wondered, could they buy up older PS3s and install a blank hard drive and then install the last firmware that still allowed the other OS? You can't downgrade the firmware because the firmware is actually in the BIOS and in the on the machine itself. It's not just on the hard drive. So, unfortunately, no, you can't downgrade. Prowl35 says, please, Lord, can we move to another topic? Bobby Blackwell's show on Skype is the Skype line that I have. I believe it. Oh, I didn't make it. I'm still offline. There we are. I was invisible. Now I'm online. And then I'm also taking other, you know, if people want to bring up something in chat, chat.allgames.com. We can talk about anything going on in the gaming industry. Eastwad says he can't call in because he's a Mac gamer and therefore he doesn't exist. There was actually, it's a troll video. It's kind of funny. And it worked. Because Steam, the digital distribution platform that's big the digital distribution platform that came out, Steam, it came out on the Mac. And a typical Mac user made a video because he couldn't figure it out. We have a call. Mm-hmm. Bobby Blackwell's show, you are on the air. Who is this?
This is Pimp Method.
Pimp Method, what's up? What's on your mind?
I'm doing right. Now that E3 is coming a bit close, I was wondering about like the sudden change within like the 2 years of first bet, like all the gaming companies wanted to like scale it down, and then like 1 year later they wanted to be back to like somewhat like the old days. Since they kind of had their somewhat success about it though, what was the real goal for these companies for them to have like E3 to be back into like the old days?
Okay, here's what it is. You were basically asking why do they want it back now?
No, excuse me. What was they was trying to do though? Because either way, they was trying to get like attention. But what was their real goal?
Saving money. They didn't like. But here's what it was. They wanted attention, and they felt, and I guess they were wrong in this feeling, and I think they learned, is that they felt they had to compete too much with everybody else. So they said, we're pulling out of E3 because we want to spend that money on our own events and get our own attention. Unfortunately, they didn't get as much attention because all these events were spread out and not as much people could attend them and stuff. And E3 almost just completely went away. And so they said, okay, well, we can't lose E3. So that's kind of why I think they're kind of going back. But even then, it's still a little bit scaled back. It's not. I don't think we're ever going to see E3 2006 again, where just like 70,000 people that barely had any connection to the industry were all in there. They're still going to be kind of strict on who can get in. And I think that's kind of what the crux of it was. I think the big thing that I heard through the grapevine, this is obviously no like official source, is that they were kind of upset that there were too many people that worked the cashier at GameStop at E3. And they kind of wanted it more to be, you know, people in the industry or people who covered the industry, not necessarily the minimum wage person that works the front desk at GameStop.
Okay, I was trying to base off my question about, like, the media attention, though. I thought, kind of like, either way, they were still getting media attention, of course, from, like, the corporate sites, but, of course, from, like, other sites such as AllGames.com and, like, other ones, though. But my main thing was I thought that these gaming companies were trying to get like publicity from like your major news sites such as ABC, NBC, etc. And I hardly noticed that lately, though. I could give like a real great example, which was PAX, and I saw like various types of like media people, mostly like independent, such as AllGames, Unscripted, Platform Nation, etc. But I have not seen any like the major news companies,
You thought that was weird that the major news companies weren't there.
Yes, exactly, because like I said, it's like a big event. You got lights, cameras, and
The local media were there. Like, so, like, not the national ABC, but I do know, like, that you, usually, like, in Seattle and in Boston, like, the local ABC affiliate will have a news crew there or something, kind of saying, hey, look, all these gamers are in our hometown. But really, the mainstream media and stuff are drawn to the trade show of E3 because that is what their news directors think is news. They're not going to go to every convention out there because to them, PAX is no different than the 800 anime conventions that go on here. And, you know, so if it's not kind of a trade show-like event, they're not really interested. And that's also why they didn't go cover the EA Media Days. You know, so that's kind of the thing about E3 is that, A, the mainstream media is interested in it because it is the trade show for the industry, and B, if you talk to a lot of gamers, I don't know if you do this, but a lot of times they're glued to all these websites that week of E3, and so they're soaking in all this information that's provided to them. They're not glued to their websites on the weekends that EA does their media days or Capcom's media days, unless they're huge Capcom fanboys. So they've got more eyeballs the week of E3 if they kind of consolidate everything than they would having all their separate media days. And they still do their media days, but they're not going to do them as extravagant as they were going to when they thought they were just going to leave E3 and do their own thing.
Okay, but still, I have yet to see anything from, like, last year from, like, the major news companies, especially from E3. I was like, really? Like you said, it is like a trade convention, and that is the point, is a trade convention, and I have yet to hear anything since last year about it. I haven't even heard any hype about it.
Well, that's because it's for the industry. They don't want to hype it up so people that aren't in the industry think they can just buy a ticket and get in.
Okay. One last thing. How about, like, the hackers? Mm-hmm. Okay, you tell me there is a code, some kind of, like, moral code that you are not supposed to put any biases onto, like, the stuff you are stealing.
Yes.
From and giving away.
Ironically, yes, they do have a code of ethics.
Okay, you got a code of ethics,
mm-hmm,
to steal stuff,
yep,
that does not belong to you, that people are actually working X amount of hours a day. You got,
yep,
ethics?
Yep.
To not put stuff that you steal that is not yours.
Yep. See, I'm glad I'm not the only one that thinks that's ironic. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
No problem. Get me off, man.
Bobby Blackwell's show on Skype. You can call in and talk about anything or E3. Tiger Claw says it's called Honor Among Thieves. Billy O.K. says, breaking news from E3 2010. He's coming from the future. Companies introduce lots of cool stuff. Gamers whine about all of it anyway. Gamers hate everything anyway. So we have another call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Bobby. It's Zappy.
Zappy, what's up? What's on your mind?
Well, I was, like, talking to some friends over the weekend, and what's shocking me is, like, how polarized, like, people can be when they see 3D dot game heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, like, I show it to one person, they say, okay, the graphics are suck. It looks just like Zelda. Why the hell am I not playing Zelda?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other people who are, like, going, okay, I like it because it's like Zelda, and it's the graphics are cute. So it's kind of like the game is getting, like, different opinions than people. Like, there's no, like, general trend I'm getting. Like, it's either one way or the other.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that may be a mark of a good game. Either you love it or you hate it. Possibly. I mean, so what do you think about it? Do you like it or do you not like it? Which side are you on?
I've ordered mine. I'm waiting for it to come in the mail.
Oh, okay.
So I'm definitely a big fan of it. I like games that try and remind me of, like, games of the past. Mm-hmm. Like last summer, I really loved that they brought back the Super Metroid type game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a big fan of bringing it back. I'm just wondering, like, people who like retro, like, why wouldn't they like this game?
Well, not everybody likes retro. I think that's what it is. And I mean, and I actually even had some people say, you know, oh, this is a disc game. I thought this looks like it should be a PSN download. You know, why is it $40? It should be $10. You know, so I mean, it's you can't please everybody. And see, here's the thing is that the beauty of the fact that this game was released by Atlus is that Atlus knows they can't please the majority because they always make the small print, the small runs. You know, it's very difficult to find their games because they know most people don't like their games.
Yeah, you got Chrome Hounds that had it small but low fan base.
Chrome Hounds was not Atlus.
Was it?
No, it was published by Sega.
Oh, shit. Okay, so I just got from all those inside jokes that thought they might have something to do with it.
From Software, the developers developed Chrome Hounds.
Oh, okay.
But it was published by Sega. Demon's Souls was published by Atlus.
Okay, so and that definitely was also niche, how hard that game was.
Yes. But I mean, so like Atlus does, you know, like the Persona games, which are, you know, very niche, and they've done a couple other very niche Japanese titles and stuff. And so that's why, you know, yeah, it's fine that a lot of people don't like 3D Game Heroes because there's not a lot of copies out there anyway. So it's not going to hurt Atlus at all. I think Atlus is going to do just as good as they expect on this game, and they're going to be very pleased with the results.
Like, I've gone to stores, and I haven't seen a 3D Game Heroes anywhere. Mm-hmm. Even though I saw it advertised, I see, like, they say they have it, but they don't.
Yeah.
And, by the way, I hate Persona with a passion.
See? See? Can't please... Atlus can't please everybody.
So. Oh. I just found 4 hours of intro was too much.
Yeah. I did. I mean, I got past it, and then I started enjoying Persona 4, but yeah, that was a little bit too long of an intro.
But yeah, so that's my opinion. I like it. I'm just shocked that even like Zelda lovers have problems with 3D Dot, which surprises me. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's about it.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Later, Bobby.
So that's it. Those are the only calls. Hey, at least we got calls this week. I'm very happy. Thank you both, Pimp Method and Zappy, for calling. And coming up next here on All Games Radio is Orange Lounge Radio. Three people out in Sacramento, California, let's see, who's it calling? Yeah, I think it's calling them. Yeah. Three people out in Sacramento, California who talk about games for a lot longer than I do. And I know that Rob's been playing 3D Game Heroes recently, and he's made a couple comments as to how this game is rated E10. So we like checking with them. Sacramento, are you guys there?
Of course we're here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. How is that game rated E10?
I don't know, because it's funny. I heard you in the show earlier talking about the sequence with the, I don't know, the prostitute or whatever you want to call it, the foop-foop time or whatever.
Yeah, the poof-poof.
Poof-poof time or whatever, yeah. I had just got to that scene before I left for the show tonight. Mm-hmm. So and it was one of those things where when I played that scene, I was like, oh, this is what Bobby was talking about on Twitter when he said it gets a lot worse.
Yes.
It's rated E10 because clearly they don't play the games. ESRB takes the word of the developer and publishers. They're not reviewing the games. They're not.
Right, but I mean, I thought that a part of the massive 800-page document they have to submit is the script for the game.
It's a massive 800-page document. They probably do a control F for the word beep beep and things I'm not supposed to say on the Bobby Blackwolf show.
That's
right. Family-oriented show, but they do a control F for those words and... You know, if it doesn't come up, they're good. They're happy.
So what do you think of the game in general?
I'm going to go in a little more in depth a little later on OLR. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard because I'm almost like exactly where you are. I'm on my way en route to Third Temple. So I feel like I can't really fairly give a total review for the game. Mm-hmm. I did pay $40, however, for it. By the way, I'm liking this pricing trend in 2010 because I just bought Super Street Fighter 4 a couple weeks ago, and that was also $40. So yeah. I am liking this $40 trend. I wish it would stick around. Mm-hmm. And actually, I would argue that the price point for this game kind of pushed me over the edge to say, I think I will just buy it. You know, because I didn't really know what 3D Game Heroes was. I'm going to be perfectly honest. Like, I heard it was kind of like, will tickle my retro funny bone, which it does, and that it will, you know, kind of appeal to the gamer in me that remembers the NES games and so forth, and it does. But can I be honest? Like, my research on this title was so poor, and I was not provided a guide by Atlus, that I honestly thought that this game was going to allow me to, like, create my own Zelda kind of games. Ah. I thought that was buying. oops, no, it's just that you can reskin the main character, whoop-de-doo. Although I will admit it's kind of cool. They've got this whole little online thing going, and, you know, you want to play a Santa Claus, you can, whatever. It's really just a little, like, woo, twirl your finger type of addition to a game that is just such a blatant ripoff of Zelda, it's not even funny. But that's okay.
But it is funny.
Nintendo wasn't going to make it.
No.
So, you know what? Or if they were going to make it, it would be on the DS. Or no, they're not even doing that anymore. The last DS game was Spirit Tracks, and then there was a game that played more like Wind Waker. So let's face it. If Nintendo ain't going to do it, enter From Software.
Now, see, and this is where I agree with you. It is such a ripoff of Zelda. It is funny.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
That's what I think.
It is. I mean, there are some little things about the game that really bother me, like loss of frame rate because of the overdone water effects. Like, really? This is 2010, and I'm losing frame rate? Like, and don't try to tell me that's a joke, because if it is, it's a bad one. I was losing frame rate in some of those dungeons, and it's like, really? I mean, the graphics in this game really could have been done on the PS2. I mean, there's really nothing about this game that makes it for the PS3. It doesn't use online. Okay, it has trophies, but please. This game really could have been done on the PS2.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that because they're charging me what they would have charged on the PS2, so I'm not going to get mad.
Mm-hmm.
But slow down. Come on. Come on.
But, yeah, and actually, I do want to point out, because some people are you know, I'm actually like halfway through the third temple, so I'm just a little bit farther. Okay. But similar, like you can't even talk about it until you play the third temple. I'm playing the third temple right now. I'm halfway through.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, it's what and I see some people saying that I agree with the person in the chat room who was giving a negative review. I actually don't walk away from the game feeling negative. It's a flawed game. But for what it is, which is a, I think you made a comparison earlier in the show that it's Hot Shot. It's like a Weird Al video game. Let's put it that mm-hmm. way. It's a Weird Al of Zelda. It's pretty good. It was clearly designed by a bunch of people that grew up around the same time you and I did, playing the same games you and I did, that make a very tongue-in-cheek reference, building an entire game around the fact, why are all our games 3D these days? For what it is, it does it well, and it's funny, and it's worth a purchase. But it's not perfect, and it's not going to be OMG best game ever, and if you give it a 10 out of 10, I think that's a bit much.
Right.
I mean, tickling your retro fancy will only go so far, yeah. If that makes sense.
And like I said, it's you know, Eat Lead tried to do the same thing, except underneath the humor was a crappy game. At least in this one, underneath the humor is a decent game.
It is The Legend of Zelda, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, and if you're going to say the game here is crappy, then you're saying that Zelda is crappy, and I don't know that you can really do that. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know any gamer that comes out and says, you know what, The Legend of Zelda, it was just poop. It was just a terrible game. I know people that will say that about future sequels, but I think most gamers pretty much respect that the original Legend of Zelda, without it, you know, you wouldn't have had half the games you have today. And, you know, this game's just a big love letter to all of that. And it's a great love letter. It just has some bad grammar in places.
And they did do a good job of making it like Zelda, because when we were setting up for my Friday night show, I actually had the demo mode running because I was charging our controller. And mm-hmm. somebody came into the store and looked at it, and he's like, oh, I used to love that game, playing that game all the time. Yeah, you remember the original, and he talked to the person that was behind the counter. Oh, yeah, you remember the original Zelda? Yeah, yeah. And he's looking, he's like, yeah, I used to love playing it. I can't remember who made it, though.
You know what's funny? I heard, ironically enough, I was at GameStop buying this game yesterday, and I got their last copy, which you know means I got the copy that was actually already opened, that mm-hmm. they put the sticker on, whatever. But I didn't want to run all around town trying to find it, because I couldn't get it at Best Buy. I couldn't find it at Target. So finally, I just went to a GameStop and got their last copy. So I don't know if there's just not a lot of them out there, which tends to be the case with Atlas games, mm-hmm. or if it's selling. I really don't know. But my point is, a little kid came up to the counter, probably about 9-10 years old, and asked the lady behind the counter, so when is the next Mario game coming out on PlayStation 2? And you have to remember, guys listening to this program and girls listening to the program, you know, if you're the type of person that listens to video game podcasts on the internet, you probably understand that there is Nintendo, there is Sony, there is Microsoft, and each of them have their own little things that are never going to cross over. But a lot of people out there don't get it. They don't understand all that.
Yeah, and it's fun trying to, you know, somebody's like, we have a PS2, can we get that new Mario game, you know, and people go into CC Gaming and say that all the time, you know, where they're trying to look for, you know, they have a PSP and they want to buy a DS game and they don't understand why it doesn't work, or why it won't work.
A lot of that is stuff we take for granted, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, yeah, or it's our fandom, I guess you shouldn't say you take it for granted, it's the stuff we follow, but you have to remember, gamers, you kind of brought this up earlier when you were talking about E3 and the news and so forth, gamers have a bad tendency to be really elitist sometimes, and we have to remember that
I have no idea what you're talking about.
We have to remember that the people out there that are buying lots of the games, look at the sales of the Wii, don't follow a lot of this the way we do. Mm-hmm. And so why the Wii sells a lot.
Yep. And that's why the shovelware sells a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. All the stuff based off movies and TV shows and Carly and Jonas Brothers and all that. We can't get President Cat, but we can sure get a Jonas Brothers game.
I mean, come on. Imagine Babies was like a million seller for the DS.
In this world. I know. It's crazy.
So what are you guys going to be talking about tonight on your elitist show? I mean, your great show.
Loki was trying to talk for some reason. It's not true. We don't know why. I guess we muted him tonight. I don't know what's going on.
Woohoo!
So. Is your switch on over there? Live radio, boys and girls. We don't. All right. Well, somehow it's not connected. So wait, Loki. Loki's going to jump in. No, that's the one you used last week.
Sabotaging my mic, AC. That's fun. No, anyways, I was going to say that's actually wasn't Imagine Babies. It was the crappy baby game, like My Baby or something like that.
Oh wow!
They're all the same, anyways.
Still, million seller.
Just Dance sold a million copies. That was in the news this week.
I think I fixed your mic, Loki. Sorry, it was just
really. Did you fix it?
Yes, I put the plug in the wrong hole. Yeah, it sounds like a joke you might hear in 3D.game.
Hey, you know, don't let that inventor guy suck you into his schemes.
You saw the picture on my Twitter, right?
I did.
That's like the first joke in the game where you kind of do a double take and you're like, did that just happen? And then there was another joke later in the game, like I didn't get it, but Alan was over and I was like, Alan, what is that from? And he looks and he goes, oh God, that's a 4chan reference. And we both made that face of like, ah.
Yeah, there's a couple Dragon Quest references and stuff like that. They get around.
It's guys like us, but in Japan, who made this game as a love letter to a lot of their favorite games. And you know what? It ain't bad at all. It's.
I look forward to 3D. Platform Heroes next.
We'll see. Tonight's Orange Lounge Radio. Of course, I want to talk a little bit about 3D. Game Heroes as well. But we'll get into some other news as well. I know we want to talk about the, and I'm surprised you didn't bring this up, because this is what everybody was talking about this week, was the whole EA Sports Pass. And I know you and I, we're in Loki and Dark Sakura, and this crowd here is not the biggest on sports games, but there definitely could be a precedent set with this. And we want to kind of analyze this tonight and get your feedback as well in our chat room, Skype line, Twitter, Carrier Pigeon, whatever you can think of, because we're all about giving everybody a voice.
Excellent. I think I talked about, because I mean, EA's done that before in their sports games. Like they started with the last one, they just didn't have a name for it. Mm-hmm. But they started doing it. I think we talked about it then. That's kind of why I kind of skipped over it a little bit. But hey, you know, if it's a slow news week next week, I may bring it up next week.
That's right. And you know what? It could be that it was a failed experiment before. But they're sounding like this is going into Madden, boys and girls.
Oh well, that was the thing. It was in Madden.
Was it really?
Well, in Madden 10, to play the online franchise, you had to use a code that either came with the new copy or you paid 800 Microsoft points to download the ability to use an online franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Interesting. You know, and I want to say there was something like that had come up on the show before, but now they're making it sound like it is going to be for all of their games.
Yeah.
So, could be very interesting.
Yeah. And Bacon Bits wants me to tell you, because he hates everything, he can still hear the buzzing. Which I don't know if it's because you're maybe echoing me back, because I know I buzz when I go out.
No, you know what? We hear it here in our speakers. We do hear that little buzz in the background. We don't have headphones. We have speakers. I don't know. It's just Bobby hates Sacramento. Confirmed.
What? What? That's it. You're kicked out of the room.
I don't know what it is.
All right. Well, Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, as always. We'll see you in a few minutes. So that's it for us. We will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on All Games Radio at allgames.com. Maybe we'll talk about the EA thing a little bit more. So you can catch us live and interact with the show directly, or Friday night. Friday Night Gaming is my TV show here on the All Games Network, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, fnglive.net. The game this week, Red Dead Redemption for the Xbox 360, a Western game from Rockstar, since we talked about Rockstar today. So you can email me, blackwolf@allgames.com, or just join us in chat anytime during the week. There's a lot of shows here on the All Games Network that are well worth your time. Check us out over at allgames.com. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you, Billy OK, DC Nate, GK128, Binary667, Burr, D5T, DeBlueGuy, ESWAT, Havoc978, Hecht, Kitsune, Maximilian, Octocamo, Shadow Next Gen, Stone Raider, THK, Tigerclaw, Toshin, Wylan, ActDef, AGN, Aki Ripper, AmazeTsuma, AshFox, BaconBits, BauerCTU, Buchika Watch, Chanel's, Cedabria, Crispy, Dark Tetsuya, DCBW, Decipher, Donovan, Firecube, Frank Branches, and Funny T-Man from RP Grinders on All Games Network. They're before my show on Friday nights. I think it's 6 p.m. Eastern. Check the site. Gripper01, Kazan, Nuxonic, Lord Cipher, Matt Cube, Melted General, MXT, Necromoss, Nutman, Prowler35, Punchy, Rumen, Sean, Sky, SSJ100, Matt, Subzi, The Time Dilation Dude, TM95, Toagak, Warham, WhatUpG, Wide Angle, Wilcon, Zappy, and Zeba. There we go. So thanks so much, guys. We will be back next week. And, you know, I might go back and try to save the kingdom of Dotnia from evil and phallic swords.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.